lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arabic English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us in today's episode of Muslim Lady. Well, this is Asma, your host. Once more, I have the pleasure to be in this studio. And here with me, I have Sister Rehana. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Assalamu alaikum to our dear listeners. I'm very happy to be here. And of course, Ramadan Kareem to all of my
Yes, of course.
Muslim
Thank
friends
you for bringing
the world.
That up. So that's very amazing. Ramadan Kareem to you and to everyone who's listening to us, and especially to the Muslim ladies. I think when the holy month of Ramadan comes, all the mothers and all the Muslim ladies are going to go through too much. Whatever they do is going to be doubled up. So before we get into our discussion, I just want you to introduce yourself very much briefly for those who still are not familiar with you.
I'm Rehana Paysapar, and I'm an Islamic researcher, especially on women's issues in today's age. And I am also a mother.
Ah, that's very amazing. So, Muslim ladies, we are going to continue with the subject of divorce. Actually, previously, we talked about the reasons and the factors that might lead a path to divorce, a couple life into divorce and separation. So what were the reasons? One of the very most important of them was the loss of attraction. Like they come out of this honeymoon phase and they would lose that spark that you mentioned. Like, okay, we no longer have that thing that relates us to each other. Like there's no more of attraction when we are together. I do not feel anything toward him. This was one of the reasons. Another one was the fact that they do not spend quality time with each other. They do not interact and communicate with each other perfectly. They do not devote special time for that. And the other factor was some sort of external factor, like one of the couples, one of the members in that in this holy institution of family gets to be attracted to somewhere else, like they would chase their happiness somewhere else, which is actually something that is that must be looked at from a sociological perspective. Like we as members of society have responsibility toward each other. Like when we say the importance of hijab is something that would help the family, we mean this exactly. So now, aside from all of these things that we mentioned as factors, now you tell us if there's any other factors that, of course, there are a list, a huge list of factors out there. But just since we have a limited time, let's see what's more to be added in order to get into the solution.
Thank you for that recap, Sister Asma. But before I move on to the next factor that is effective, I would like to mention that Islam has a high regard for the institution of marriage. It actually gives a lot of opportunities for a couple to become closer to one another through giving rewards. It gives rewards for various things that can help the couple have that attraction.
And strengthen their bond.
Yes, strengthen that attraction, strengthen their bond. And for instance, we can mention that Allah has set a reward for when a man and a woman, like a husband and a wife, I mean, look into each other's eyes lovingly. Even for that small, very small act, Allah has set a reward. And the reason for that, we must assume, is that how effective it can be in rekindling that spark and for maintaining that attraction.
Reawaken that spark.
Yes. And another thing is that there are rewards for when, for example, a wife creates a situation where the husband and wife can spend some quality time with each other. So as you might have experienced before, I mean, dear listeners have experienced before, maybe. Sometimes men are just not that attentive. They forget that they have to spend, they have to stop for a second, spend some quality time with the yeah. family. They just have so much on their mind. And I guess Allah has somehow not given the responsibility of it to women, but has understood that women have more of this power to create the situation.
Well, now here, just for the record, we have to mention something, but then let's go for a break and then we'll be back and I would bring that up. Well, welcome back. This is Muslim Ladies. Sister Rehane and I were talking about ladies, stuff. But then we came to the issue of divorce, and I already gave you an introduction. Then Sister Rehane was just mentioning some ways, some solutions for how to reawaken that spark and how to regain that attention that we have for each other, as I mean in the institution of family and in marriage for couples. Women are more passionate, they're kinder, and this is pretty much clear.
And they think about these stuff more as
yeah,
well.
And they care about emotion. They are the faculty of emotion and feeling. And by the way, I'm not saying that they do not think. They have both and they can moderate. But then there comes this issue that we've been talking about many times in Muslim Lady. You're saying that men, when they come to home, they're not attentive because they're tired, because they have had enough in their plate, and that's very right. But then unfortunately, as a result of the problems of this today's world, let's say, a lot of women are spending a lot of their time outside the home, just like the man. So when they come home, they again are not attentive. They again wish someone else to take care of them. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, yes. They would feel like, okay, it's his responsibility. Like, it's not me, the only one who's responsible. Like, I have had enough just like him. Okay, but you are just breaking the cycle. You're just... I don't know how to say it. You know, I do not say that women should not work or should not attend extra activities outside the home.
No,
but
of course not.
All what I mean is that when we change the directions, the natural direction and cycle of everything in this world, things are going to get ruined, like the relationship between
exactly.
family. Another important factor which is going to lead to divorce is the fact that neither of them, not men, nor the woman, are going to get enough of their relationship because they're tired.
Responsibilities of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned it. But the thing is that I presumed a situation which is ideal in Islam.
Yeah, that's ideal of Islam. I understand.
Yes.
That's why I brought it up.
That is a very good
when
point.
When the woman is actually doing her job and doing her responsibility as a mother and as a wife, though, I say it, we are not saying that women should not work, women should not have any extra activities outside the home. No, we just say that it's not women's responsibility to bring money.
Yes.
That's the thing that Islam says. Islam actually respects women more than just money maker sort of creatures. I usually call mothers as artists because a great
yes.
mother is going to paint some beautiful canvases of human beings and personalities.
We have a narration that says, "Al-mar'atu rayhana wa laysat biqahrimana." So I believe that this
and
word...
And what is the translation of it, just for those who
uh-huh.
do not know Arabic?
Yes, it means that women are like flowers. They aren't heroes. And what I believe the word hero entails is women having it all. Doing everything, working outside the home, doing hard labor to earn money, and also having the responsibilities of the house, because we all know that the major responsibility of child rearing falls on the shoulders of women. I think that it's really important. That is another thing that about the basic principles of Islam when it comes to the family unit. So,
and of course, we have Lady Fatima Zahra as the role model. I mean, just look at her. Yes, she had some gatherings. She had meetings in which she would clarify religious stuff and philosophical issues to other women. But then she was not doing a lot of jobs outside the home. Like, she was the mother to kids whose destiny changed the destiny of human beings. But then she was this flower that you were just talking about.
Yeah, so it is important to understand and to really consider the responsibilities of a woman in the family. When a woman gets married, consequently means that she has accepted all of the responsibilities that comes along with marriage.
Exactly.
So having a job and earning money is not a part of those responsibilities. So it's not on the shoulders of the woman to earn the money. So this
means, unfortunately, again, I have to interrupt you, but before I just point out what I'm going to say, let's go for a break and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back and thank you for staying with us, Muslim ladies. Yes, there was a point I just wanted to bring out. Just as you said, women are not meant to make money. I mean, the responsibility is not on their shoulders. It's the men who are meant to be the money makers and to provide the facilities for life. Unfortunately, there's this case in which I've heard about, and I was so, I don't know, I was just shocked. Like, the man who was searching for a woman to marry, one of his criterion was for the woman to be working. And then is his justification? Is the fact that, okay, life is difficult. Me alone am not going to be able to afford all the money is needed for a life.
Oh my God, that is so unattractive.
But see, just, I mean, like, just see what women have done to themselves. Like, you bring yourself into a position in which to be a working woman becomes a criterion for your decisions for life.
That is basically telling your wife that I want you to work and to earn money for us.
Like, I'm counting on you to afford money for me.
Oh, that is very...
And this very idea was something I have never heard about. Like, when I heard, I was just so shocked. But unfortunately, when I come to see reality in the world, I see that, yes, this has been one of the factors. Like, a woman who's working outside the home, like a girl who has been achieving a lot of things, like she can make a perfect amount of money, is more acceptable by other men. Why? Okay, think about it just.
Yeah, that is a result of men and women forgetting their responsibilities and
their roles.
Yes, and buying into these feminist movements that, when you think about it, actually benefit men rather than women.
Yeah, that's the point.
To be perfectly honest. So one of the important reasons that people mention, one of the common reasons that people mention when getting a divorce is lack of attraction and losing the spark. And that could be because of men and women forgetting their roles, their actual roles and responsibilities in a marriage, and creating these false goals and their own criteria and responsibilities that aren't even true.
And the traps of the slogans. A lot of movements are out there speaking of the right of women and this and that. All of these things would mislead men and women, even in their relationships as couples.
Yeah, so it is a important topic, and inshallah we'll delve deeper into it into other episodes.
Exactly, yeah. So since it is a topic that has got a lot of other chains getting into it, like it's an interlaced issue, when you talk about divorce, a lot of factors come from different dimensions of individual and social life. So things are related to each other and it gets into new roads and new paths. That's why sometimes we get to talk about other factors by detail. So thank you, Sister Rehane. And thank you, dear listeners. This was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and it comes fruitful. So thank you. Until another session, I leave you to God's never sleeping eyes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the second day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. As we had promised yesterday, today we will speak about the customs of different ethnicities in Iran in Nowruz. Today we will speak about the customs of people in Mazandaran and Golestan provinces. Stay with us, please. Mazani and Katuli ethnicities are the most groups living in the north and northeast of Iran. They have very similar customs and traditions, though their dialects may sound somehow different. Nowruz Khan is the person who goes from street to street and neighborhood to neighborhood to give the news of coming of a spring a few weeks before Nowruz. What he does is called Nowruz Khani, literally meaning reciting and singing on Nowruz. Nowruz Khans in Mazandaran start their job in Esfand, the last month of the Iranian calendar year. Carrying a stick and a backpack, they walk in the alleys and streets of their city and sing melodies in their Mazani dialect containing good news of arrival of a spring. Local people serve them with sweets and pastries. This custom has been held mostly in villages for the recent years. According to historical accounts, Nowruz Khani dates back to pre-Islam era. Nowruz Khani among Catul people of Golestan province is also interesting. Catuli ethnicity sing Nowruz Khani with sitar instrument and sometimes people accompany the singer. Singers wish a good and happy year for people and pray for the remedy of the sick. Another beautiful custom among people in Mazandaran in Nowruz is to determine luck for the new year. It means the first person who enters the house will be good-footed. In some regions of Mazandaran province, the custom is called Madarm. According to this traditional custom, a few minutes before the turn of the year, a person who is accepted among all members of the family stands at the threshold with a tray containing a copy of the Noble Quran, a bowl of water, and green sprouts. He waits for the moment of turn of the year. He's the first person who steps in the house. He sprinkles water on the threshold or corner of the house, and other members of family put a gift in the tray. Choosing luck for the new year differs from region to region. According to an old belief, a good luck will bring a good year for the house. Sometimes a person is the luck of several houses. Thus, families wait till his turn for their house. Another custom among the people of Mazandaran and Golestan provinces is venerating of the dead on the last Thursday of year. Like many people across the country, they go to the graveyards and recite Quran and distribute sweets, halwa, and other edibles, hoping to attract God's mercy for their dead ones. This day is known as Alfe in the region. According to the Islamic narrations, the dead expect gifts from their families. Thus, when their siblings, parents, or other relatives recite verses of the Quran, especially chapter hamd for them, the spirits of the dead will benefit from it. We have also been recommended to recite salawat, greetings to the Prophet and his progeny, and send its reward to the spirit of the dead. In many villages, the custom of alfe is held in the traditional form. The hosts clean their houses and try to forget spites and grudges. They fumigate wild rue and distribute edibles as votive for guests. Wild rue is believed to ward off bad luck. They also keep a light or lantern burning outdoors, believing that the spirits of the dead will find the way to the house easier. The relatives of the dead spread a tablecloth over the grave and put various kinds of edibles on it as votive. This old custom remains to date with some changes. Now let us become familiar with some of the foods in Mazandaran and Golestan for Nowruz. The people of Catul have baked a special kind of bread called Bibi Nowruz since old times. It was more popular in mountainous regions. The people of Catul used to bake big breads as many as the men of the family. This was Bibi Nowruz and would be consumed till the end of Nowruz. Then, on the 13th day, that is Sizde Bedar, They would go to the plains and gardens and eat what had remained from the breads. If they couldn't finish all breads, they would pour the rest in a river or leave it for animals to eat. This was considered as a gift to the nature. Well, let's see what pastries or candies are made in Mazandaran and Golestan provinces for Nowruz. Walnut halwa is a kind of pastry which is made in Mazandaran for Nowruz. It is called Aguza halwa in some cities. It is made from walnut, rice, sugar and oil. Halwa is prepared for both feast and mourning in the north of Iran. Pusht zik is another pastry made in Mazandaran. It contains sesame and sugar. It is very tasty. Now, dear listeners, in the next episode, we will become familiar with the customs of Nowruz in Gilan province. God bless you and goodbye.
Iranian weapon. Part 3.
Iran has long been trying to buy a Russian system called the S-300. Tehran has already purchased a sort of the export version of the system. This system is called Tor M1 or SAM 15. The range of the missiles and radar of this system is short and suitable for hitting cruise missiles and drones at low altitudes. Therefore, the S-300 can undo the knots of the Iranian defense dome. Tor means dominance. The Russian system has a lot of operational capability at very low to medium altitudes, but may be captured in enemy cyber operations. These 300s should reach Iran, but the same system gets stuck in the net of sanctions, and their delivery to Iran has made headlines for quite a while. The position of the Islamic Republic is standing against any aggression and humiliation. Delay in delivery of the S-300 prompts Iran to start developing a similar air defense system. It's a bold claim, but Iran has previously reverse-engineered American systems, so it isn't unlikely to reach this one as well. Meanwhile, the project to design an Iranian S-300 system had started, and on the other hand, the complaint against the Russians had yielded good results, and the first convoy of S-300s was arriving in Iran. After all, the S-300 is finally arriving in Iran. Iran has gained significant expertise in reverse engineering defense technology and is now moving toward designing a new system based on a combination of Western and Eastern technologies. Iran has many natural specifications, which are why it needs diverse air defense systems. The combination of these systems is called Dome. The Iranian Dome covers everywhere in the country, including the mountains and even the seas. With the launch of the new military satellite, there is hope that Iran will be able to monitor its land from space. However, until that day comes, there are still several wonders left for the Americans. First, at the beginning of the 2010s, here at the Kandahar Air Base belonging to the U.S. occupying forces in Afghanistan. In the early 2010s, Iran was no longer like Iraq, where by destroying limited radar stations, one could blind the eyes. This was a lesson that Iran's air defense gave to the Americans in December of 2011. This aircraft that takes off the ground will leave a different mark in the history of Iran-U.S. relations. The aircraft utilizes the cutting-edge military technology in the world, the Beast of Kandahar, or the RQ-170. It's an aircraft with the highest level of stealth. The RQ flies into Iranian airspace. The RQ pilots are certain that no one is able to see them on its radar. No Iranian air defense had locked on RQ. Everything is like the F-117s that flew over Iraq. The American side is completely relaxed, but the Americans are wrong. Not only the radar see the RQ, but even the flight image of the aircraft can be seen live in the Iranian operations room. A few minutes later, the RQ connection with the Kandahar Center is cut off. The Americans are still confused as to what happened to their strategic UAV, and images are broadcast on Iranian TV. The RQ is safe and sound on the ground and now in control of the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps personnel. The footage is amazing. Has Iran reached a level of technology that can not only see or destroy the most important espionage aircraft in the world, but also land it safely on the ground? The news is true. So true that the U.S. president confirms it in front of the cameras in amazement. Iran gives the answer to the U.S. side a year later in this place. When the leader of the revolution sits in front of the American UAV and the Iranian version of the RQ-170. Seymour is an Iranian model of the RQ-170 that takes off the ground. Some time later, Seymour makes its first operational cross-border flight here, striking the Daesh headquarters near the U.S. military base. This is not a simple event. In this way, the Seymour flies from Iran in the middle of the night and strikes the strategic depth of Daesh in such a way that the U.S. defenses did not show the slightest reaction. The Iranian Seymour was hidden from the U.S. defenses, and this by no means is something irrelevant. An important achievement has been made in this dark night. However, Iran's air defense system has just begun its job. The Iranian skies are no longer safe for spy aircraft. August 2014, Isfahan Province. This fragmented aircraft is the Israeli regime's most important spy aircraft, Hermes. The legendary name shows that the Israeli UAV is very smart, intelligent, and untraceable, of course, until before this scene. This is the same Hermes that had been unveiled with this shape and image. In an ugly and inhuman act, Israel used civilian airliners as a shield for Hermes. Firing any missiles towards Hermes could have caused the downing of a passenger plane, and this alone would have been a means of media war against Iran. The Israelis never admitted that they hid their espionage UAV in the airway routes. Therefore, the detection and targeting process of the espionage UAV took roughly 40 minutes and finally was destroyed over the city of Natanz. The fact that the Iranian radars detected the not-so-large Israeli drones among all the passenger planes is just one side of the story. But the fact that the Iranian missiles were able to distinguish the super stealth UAV from the other planes without mistake and destroy it is another story. It means Iran has reached a high level in air defense. This preparedness is a product of these drills. This is Semnon in 2018. The Iranian army is in war drills, and the cameras catch a glimpse of a special radar and air defense system. This system is called Mersad. But the type of its missile remains unknown, and no information about them was published until the end of the 2000s. Drone power and defense power. Images are displaying only the power of one of the combat units of the Iranian army. Not all of Iran's armed forces. That was in 2018, that is, only 30 years after the final year of Iraq's war on Iran and when Iran had a lot of problems defending its own skies. A year later, the Semnon Desert again. The Mersad 16 system is supposed to be tested here. The Mersad 16. Not every country can manufacture this. The Iranian Hafiz radar is highly capable and has brought Iran to a point where it can cover up to 250 kilometers. Hafiz simultaneously engages and tracks 100 targets. This is how Hafiz was tested next to Mersad 16.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى و دین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد اینها چیزای لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. Salamun alaikum. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio on a special occasion. Today is the demise anniversary of Lady Khadija, the great wife of the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Please accept our condolences on this day and be with us with today's special.
As-salamu alaykum, ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa, ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa, ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa.
On Thursday, 10th of Ramadan, 1445, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Farvardin, 1403, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of March, 2024, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Today is the demise anniversary of Lady Khadija, first woman of Islam.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم ومنك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
Remarkable women have done remarkable things in every part of the world in every time in history. Most of their accomplishments were not recorded in history books. While just as brilliant, creative and courageous as men, women in many societies have been valued less and often their contributions discounted, not recorded at all, or attributed to men. Notable expectations were women so extraordinary their worth could not be ignored or minimized. One such woman, revered by billions, is Khadija bint al-Khuwailid. Khadija is recognized as a great woman. Muhammad revered Khadija's memory the rest of his life and consistently held her up to both men and women as a model of intelligence, virtue, courage, and devotion to family and to Allah. During the 25 years of their marriage, Muhammad remained married only to Khadija. Today is the demise anniversary of Khadija, the wife of the last Prophet of Allah. We offer our condolences on this day to all Muslims all around the world.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
We are in the month of Ramadan, the 10th day, so this is our dua.
اللهم اجعلني فيه من المتوكلين علي واجعلني فيهم من الفائزين لديك واجعلني فيهم من المقربين إليك بإحصانك يا غاية الطالبين.
O Allah, on this day, make me among those who rely on you, from those you consider successful, and place me among those who are near to you by your favor, O goal of the seekers.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the demise of Lady Khadija, peace be upon her, the wife of the Holy Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who passed away on the 10th of the holy month of Ramadan. The 10th day of the blessed month of Ramadan is the anniversary of the demise of Lady Khadija sallallahu alayha, the esteemed wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mother of Lady Fatima al-Zahra sallallahu alayha, her role in shaping the Islamic movement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca. Her special personality, her virtues, and her exalted status with the Holy Prophet ﷺ make it imperative for all Muslim men and women to learn about her and draw inspiration from the life and conduct of that great lady. Khadija ﷺ was born to her father Khuwaylid bin Asad from the Quraysh tribe, and her mother Fatima bin Zaida, in historical sources, is referred to by honorable titles such as Zakiyya, Mardiyya, Siddiqa, that is, the virtuous, the pleasing, the truthful, Sayyidatun Nisa al-Quraysh, the lady of the women of Quraysh, and so on and so forth. Historical sources do not provide much information about Lady Khadija's personality before Islam. However, they almost unanimously agree that she was a woman of good reputation, noble lineage, and wealth. She engaged in trade with her wealth, employed people for business transactions. The era of Khadija's birth, growth, and social maturity was a time when girls were buried alive and deprived of all family and social privileges. The fact that Lady Khadija sallallahu alayha engaged in economic activities and achieved a well-established position in this field during such a period reflects her intelligence and wisdom. At the same time, despite living in affluent and generous conditions and enjoying family prestige, she never fell into heedlessness.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
Be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day for 15 minutes.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد.
Hazrat Khadija's demise. The last Prophet of Allah remembered Lady Khadija with love, affection, and gratitude forever. Her death filled his heart with deep pain and sorrow. Lady Khadija perished on the 10th of Ramadan of the 10th year after Hijrah in 619 and was laid to rest in Holy Mecca. The Messenger of Allah himself descended into her grave to lay in it for a few moments. He smoothed the earth on her grave after the burial. Hazrat Muhammad had to sustain another great shock in the death of his uncle and guardian and the bulwark of Islam, Hazrat Abu Talib's passing away, 1 month after Lady Khadija's. He was overwhelmed with sorrow and grief with the expiry and two supporters and called the year of their death Amul Huzn, the year of sorrow. Dear brothers and sisters, today is the demise anniversary of Lady Khadija. We express our condolences to all of you, to all of our dear brothers and sisters in faith. And you are with today's special and knowing more about the Mother of Believers. Before Islam, Khadija was the princess of Mecca. When the son of Islam rose, Allah was pleased to make her the princess of Islam also. Allah was also pleased to make her the mother of believers, as He says in His book. Chapter 33, verse 6. The Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers. This surah, chapter 33, establishes the dignity and position of the Holy Prophet's wives, who had a special mission and responsibility as mothers of the believers. They were not to be like ordinary women. They had to instruct women in spiritual matters, visit and minister to those who were ill or in distress, and do other kindly offices in aid of the Prophet's mission. The title of the Mother of the Believers appears to have been specifically designed for Khadija. Without Khadija, this title becomes meaningless. She and she alone gave the sacred love which a mother alone can give to the believers. A mother may be hungry, but if her children are hungry, she will feed them first. In fact, if necessary, in an exigency, she will feed her children her own share of food and will gladly go hungry. This has happened on countless occasions in history, especially during wars and famines.
Although before marrying the Holy Prophet ﷺ, she managed the affairs of dozens of men in her economic organization, as a wealthy merchant, she interacted with those men only as much as was necessary. Even in her other social activities, she always followed this modest conduct, earning her the title of Tahira, the pure, during the era of ignorance. I just here want to have a look at the referred to the exalted status of Lady Khadija salamullah alayha in the eyes of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The necessity of studying the life of Lady Khadija salamullah alayha becomes apparent when we realize that some have forgotten her outstanding services. However, in the progress of Islam, great and influential women like Khadija played a role and made the greatest sacrifices for the establishment and promotion of Islam in the implementation of justice and equity. With firm faith and elevated thinking, she wholeheartedly supported her man in this path. Perhaps this is why the Holy Prophet ﷺ often explained her exalted status through through his words and actions, expressing respect for her personality. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, Khadija was one of the most beautiful women in appearance, one of the most perfect women in wisdom, and one of the most knowledgeable women in understanding. She was the most chaste, the most devout, and the most modest, and the most dignified, and the most suitable women. Thank you very much for staying tuned and listening to this show. Dear brothers and sisters, wassalamu alaikum.
As I told you, today is the demise anniversary of the wife of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. We express our condolences to all of you, and we invite you to be with us in another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Please keep us in your dua, and we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi,
Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.